Welcome to the Faith Element podcast for the November 6, 2016 session, based on Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5 and 17 through 21, Praise and Justice. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm David Adams.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
Daniel Glaze is away for this episode, but we're glad to have David Adams back with us. Welcome back, David.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we're in the Psalms for this session. So, Bert, I wondered if you might be able to get us started with a bit of intro on this psalm.
Oh, sure. I'll be glad to. You know, I don't know how old our listeners are, what our age range and our demographic is, but if any of you are listening or are like me and you're rapidly approaching 50 or like the Davids and a little bit older closing in on...
Hey.
you may remember the great gospel group, The Imperials. The Imperials were at one time Elvis's gospel vocal group from the 60s, late 60s until about 71. But in 1976, an incredible, soulful lead vocalist named Russ Taff joined the group, and The Imperials became a force in the newly growing contemporary Christian music genre. And one of my favorite Imperial songs from that period, I think the one that still moves me the most, is a song called Praise the Lord. And when I was in junior high, and my early teenage angst had me dreading going to school that day, I'd push in my 8-track tape and start the morning by listening to Praise the Lord. And when I would come home after a bad day in high school, I'd take out my record and I'd put the needle on the song, Praise the Lord. And when I was scared to death and feeling all alone as a little freshman in a huge sea of strangers at a major university, I'd retreat to my dorm room, grab my Walkman and my headphones, and listen to Praise the Lord. You may see a pattern developing here. And even today, almost four decades now, if the song just happens to pop up on my playlist, I stop and I'm moved. I'm encouraged, I'm strengthened, and I'm transformed by the reminder that God is in control. The lyrics go like this. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you, serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise. It's about God being in ultimate control. God's kingship is everlasting. God's rule is eternal. God's greatness is beyond our understanding. And from generation to generation to generation to generation, God's majesty will be praised. But Psalm 145 isn't solely about me or about you being strengthened in individual moments of doubt, despair, pain. It is about that, but it is so much broader and so much deeper. It's so much more. And as we move into the verses 17 through 21, Psalm 145 moves our understanding from the individual to the communal. From me to us, and from us to all. Old Testament professor Nancy DeClasse Walford at McAfee School of Theology in Atlanta reminds us that Psalm 145 is about a new world emerging in our midst. She draws out the prophetic voice of the psalmist to challenge us that when the psalmist speaks of the Lord being merciful, that God is near those who call upon God, that God hears the people's cries, that God watches over those who love Him, and God destroys the wicked, then we have to remember that we're the hands and feet of God in the world. We are the body of the living Christ in this world. It's in us. It's through us that God is watching and doing and hearing and responding and being merciful and confronting evil and injustice. Now, I can't remember if it was the Imperial singer Russ Taff, perhaps it was the Trappist monk Thomas Merton, who noted that praise is cheap. We praise everything. We praise soap, we praise beer, we praise toothpaste, mouthwash, movie stars, all the latest gadgets which are supposed to make life more comfortable. Everything is constantly being praised. James says, faith without works is dead. Maybe Psalm 145 is saying that praise without justice is dead. As I've grown older, even listening to my favorite imperial song has changed in its meaning for me, because early on, it was intensely personal to encourage me, to refresh me, to make me feel better about God's love for me. But now, as I praise the Lord, it does those things still, but it transforms my vision. It turns my concerns outward. It opens my eyes. It opens my ears to others. So, please forgive the gender-specific language of the time period, but maybe Rustaf and the Imperials grasp Psalm 145 the best. Praise the Lord, because God works through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I saw the Imperials in concert.
Me too.
I saw them the year after Russ left with that other guy from Baylor, who was still good.
At Baylor.
But I would have loved them with Rustaf.
I never saw them.
No.
Wait, bust out the song here.
I saw them with Mylon Lefevre and Broken Heart opening up for him, and they tore the roof off.
Wow. I mean, Bert, the praise part is fun. I like the praise part.
Yeah, I do too. Like we just, you don't think about that, how we praise everything.
I know.
We really do. We're very free with praise. We're just not free with doing anything.
I ate at a great place for supper tonight. They called it their summer salad, and it had organic greens with lots of blueberries, strawberries, pecans, some cheese. I mean, it was really good. I didn't have time, but I it's not uncommon for me to go on Yelp and leave a review, right? We praise good experiences we have, right?
We have Yelp for that. It is interesting how we provide just like anything you want. We have so much facility we've given for people to praise truly or falsely, just really like that. But how much provision do we make to actually get justice? There's no app for that.
A quick reading of this psalm, the praise part's easy to find. What's the verse that leads us to talk about and see this connection with justice?
17.
Yeah. Would you read that for us?
The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. And we might add that when you're reading Old Testament and you see the word fear, that can also be translated as respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it even begins earlier than that. In 14, it says, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
And what does that have to do with justice?
Well, everything. I think it's that leveling out. It's the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's those who are falling, God will catch them. God will hold them up.
I think justice kind of starts with that, of making right those places where people have been raised too high at the expense of others and making some recompense and correcting the situation.
Yeah, and see, I think so many of us have such a personal view when we read Scripture, looking for a very personal, it's what about me? I mean, what's this verse going to say to me? What's the rule for me to follow? That kind of a thing, that we miss the corporate aspect. That was very much a part of at least the Hebrew people. They heard, I think, a very corporate feel. The idea of the individualism that we know is a foreign concept in most other cultures and time periods. And so when we hear that, God's going to lift us up, God's going to do this, we're waiting when we hear that. I think at least for me at different points of my journey, I'm waiting, okay, God, you lift me up. You raise me up. You protect me. You look over me or something like that. But we fail to see where God does this through others. God does this through our structures. God does this through our fellowship, our community. We're looking for a miraculous, emotional type of experience maybe. And then when if we can grasp that God is doing these things through others, then we can grasp that God is doing this for others through us. And I think that's what the McAfee Old Testament professor was trying to get at, is that, you know, the God lifting others up, God watching over others is through us doing it, just as God is doing it to us through others.
Did you get the inclusive message in the later part of this passage too? If you look very carefully, you see the word all appear many times. Mm-hmm. The Lord upholds all who are falling, raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call upon him and to all who call on him in truth. It doesn't really distinguish between persons. And I think I'm hearing you talk about individualism, and I kind of get that. We don't get this idea that we as a people, God is there for all of us collectively so much as, oh, I want something, and I'm going to ask God for that because it says in this passage, God will give me that.
But does all really mean all? What do you mean by all?
Well, I think we touched on that in last week's lesson on Zacchaeus.
Sure.
You know, which again, last week we talked about this, what you just brought up, Nikki, bringing down, raising up. Funny how these themes keep popping up. You know, if we're looking at this, the scholars, at least the ones that I was looking at in preparing for this, was, you know, that this is one of the later psalms. I mean, it's laid out as one of the later psalms in our text, but it is one of the older, I mean, one of the later psalms to come along. And so if we're looking at this as psalms of David, or psalms that, you know, after David has passed away, that are done in the vein of David, in the theme of David, in the mindset of David, this is how we're going to pray. Mm-hmm. You have a conscious idea of all of Israel's history and of David's history and of David's history in the kingdom and before the kingdom and after the, you know, and you have all of this ups and downs and scandals and God's blessings and goodness. You have all of this huge mess that's brought into this when you're hearing this, if they're Hebrew people, and this is our songs. And I think sometimes we miss the larger context in which, you know, we just open this up when we read Psalm 145, that, you know, we hear this in a larger context. It's all of our lives. It's all of our ups and all of our downs and all of the national turmoil and all the political upheaval and all the national insecurities and all the violence and all the, you know, all of that's wrapped up into this. And still, God is above it all. God's beyond it all. All these things come and go, and God will always remain, and God will always remain in charge. And generations later, God's still going to be praised. Yeah, maybe a good word for us to hear in our current political climate.
I was just thinking about that because as I'm reading this word to all people and what God is doing for generations, we're thinking about our current political climate where it's just like a powder keg. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm reminded of words, for instance, Derek Webb has a song, In God We Trust. You know, In God We Trust even when God is on someone else's side, basically. It's hard for us to think about the people who might feel different from us as being included in that same all that God loves and is near to because they don't think like us. So how could they possibly have the same connection we have? You know, and this psalm says, but that's the way it is.
I think the interesting thing to me is, and Bert, you touched on this in what you were in your remarks at the beginning, is that, you know, if this psalm is spoken into, you know, a climate like the one we find ourselves in today, it occurs to me then that the antidote to this climate is praise. Mm. That you talked about this, you said something about, I'm remembering you said that praise pushes out doubts and fears. I don't remember the language you used, but I had this, so I heard what I heard, whether it's what you said or not. But it is this idea that once we choose to focus our thoughts on praising God, that all the other stuff kind of falls away. Mm-hmm. That there's a sense that who's the best or who's the most important or who's the most special falls away, that we can find commonality in our praise of what God has done in our lives individually and collectively.
Well, I think that's really interesting, Nikki. I mean, we need that that antidote right now,
ooh,
right?
Yes.
I mean, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy mm-hmm. to see the darkness that is there. And, you know, humanity has always had darkness in our midst. But to praise God is to have optimism, right? It's mm-hmm. to believe God is doing something. There is a good thing happening. God is going to ultimately set things right, that in the grand chess game of life, God's going to move the last piece. There, mm-hmm. you know, things are going to get set right. And it's, you know, we hear that optimism throughout the Old Testament and certainly in the New Testament. And I think you're right. I think for the church to be a place of praise, legitimately praising God for where God is at work, even those places that we may not want to talk about all.
Right.
But to do that, I mean, that's a positive word that I think we need to be sharing.
Maybe if we're talking about the possibility of everyone going over the cliff, this is the lifeline that gives us a way back.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, and God has done this over and over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
One of the first stories we see is God saving the Israelites from Egypt. You know, I mean, and then that story is just repeated, different characters, different context, but over and over and over again. It was Martin Luther King who said it was something like the arc of the universe bends towards justice. And, you know, that is, God is about that work. And whatever scripture says, it does say that God's work is for justice. I don't know how you can read scripture and not hear that and not see that. It is so clear and is so evident in every story and in every step along the way. God is moving the universe to be more just for all, not for some, but for all.
And that's why we don't see it, because we don't want to see that.
Right, right. Especially if we're the ones who have to be brought down low.
You know, as we step back again and look at the Israelite history, and again, I'm just going to say basically what I said earlier, but maybe a little bit more clearly, you know, the kingdoms rise and the kingdoms fall.
Mm-hmm.
And the kingdoms split and the kingdoms are you know, taken over and there are no more. And yet the Hebrew people remain, the faith remains, God remains. And I think that's a promise, again, to remind us all that our faith and our salvation, our redemption and our hope is not in a political kingdom. Now, the political kingdom can be good, and the political kingdom can be very useful and helpful in establishing justice on this earth. But if the people rebel and politics turns nasty, God will still remain. And you know, we are still able to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God, regardless of whether our kingdoms are ruling or our kingdoms are overtaken at the moment. We could learn a lot from Israelite history.
There's a scene at the beginning of Lion King that it's one of the iconic scenes of the movie where he holds the young lion up and he talks about his greatness and his place in the universe and how vast everything is and how he is so much greater than everything else. That seems to be an approach a lot of us take. I think we're conditioned to think that, oh, this is a good thing we've done. This helps someone establish their place in the universe and their own internal greatness and what they can rise to. And it's a good Western myth and legend. But this passage says pretty much the opposite. It says, when you look at this vast thing, and in fact, there are Psalms that say this, when you look at the night sky and see what God has crafted here, what are people that you're mindful of us? And, you know, God is so much greater than the image of ourselves that we want to build up of our own greatness. And God is greater than us largely because of some of the things this passage talks about. That's how it's demonstrated. And we just don't appreciate that enough.
Wow. And, you know, if it's been a long time, but if you go back, I haven't seen the new remake, but if you go back and you watch the original Roots.
Oh, yeah.
The African tradition.
Yeah, he holds him up and says that.
From which Lion King got that, right? He's the man who holds it. But he says, behold, the only one that is greater than you.
Yes.
I remember as a young boy, this was before fire ants invaded the South, right?
wow.
And I had a friend who had this immaculate lawn. And it was, yes, I remember it was St. Augustine grass. It was nice plush carpet. And we would have, I remember these summer evenings where we would just lay in the grass and look up at the night sky. And it was before we had all this, I mean, there, I don't remember the kind of light pollution that we have now, and we lived out in the country, but literally you could see incredible detail in the night sky. And we would just sit there and gaze at the stars and think about what was there and how vast everything was. And ultimately, even if we didn't talk explicitly about it, you know, there was a feeling that we were part of something that was grand, and yet we were very small. We had a place in that that was smaller than the one that created it. And wow, what a great image for us. And, you know, I was reading, because I'm kind of into science fiction, space and all that, but I was reading the other day how it's not the experience of a lot of young people now, because we have so much light at night that it's hard to see the night sky. And I wonder if that's a missing part of our experience and realization of the vastness of creation, and as you know, as a part of that, the greatness of God, of the Creator, that as we read in this psalm, is worthy of praise and is at work even now, bringing justice in this creation. Something worth praising. Well, I hope that as each of us ends up in our own congregations in a few days, or as you were experiencing this perhaps on your Sunday as a listener, that we all realize the wonderful optimism that this psalm calls us to, the looking forward with gladness and with excitement to what God is about and what God is doing even now. Thank you all for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.